ninth grade school. It was Sandpoint Charter School for many, many years. We were in the old Northern Lights building down where Mountain West Bank is now. And we had, you know, a passel of kids and their families that took a chance on what we were trying to do. We worked with, at that time, a very strict methodology on projects that kids remember better if you give them an event or a project tied to the lesson. And so everything was steeped in that. And as we progressed, then we moved to high school. And that was just a lot of different changes within education itself and then our community's needs that we now have ended up with grades 6 through 12. So, I mean, that's kind of the brief version of the history.
So I'm sort of vaguely remembering when the high school was built, but when did the high school come online?
Oh, man, I knew you were going to ask me that about
dates. Roughly.
Probably right around 2009, 10, right in there.
That sounds about right. We'll say 2009.
Okay, let's split the difference right there. There we go.
So back to the philosophical approach. How does the charter school's curriculum or approach differ from other schools?
You know, one of the things that I really like about us is that we're always evolving to meet the needs of the kids that are right there in front of us. We started with this very heavy project-based learning, which worked really well for kids 20 years ago. As we evolved, we have added in our high school, we are very much in line with using dual enrollment with the state. So we're letting kids go to college and practice being in college before they leave us, which when you look at some of the statistics, and I don't ask me the statistics right now, I haven't looked at them in a while, but as far as Idaho kids and their success in college, it feels really important to give kids that opportunity to practice it so that they know what they can do. We have also evolved within our school community, working on more community skills with the kids and civil discourse within the projects and the teamwork activities that we do. So my favorite thing is that it continues to evolve with how we're doing our projects and our activities and our events and the kind of community and young adults we're helping these kids become with the help of their family. I think that's probably, I really need to emphasize our families and how great they are. They come in and they take chances with us all the time in hopes that it's going to work. And so we build a great relationship with them.
So how does the dual enrollment work here? The only college campus locally I'm aware of is the extension for North Idaho College. The kids utilize that, or do they travel farther or go online?
There's a couple different ways that you can do it. And it's nice that the Idaho colleges are using it more. I know that some of the schools are using NIC like we do. Some are using U of I like we do. I mean, some are using even Lewis Clark State College down in Lewiston like we do. I mean, there's the Idaho colleges and universities have been really great working with it. So what happens is a student signs up with the state of Idaho for advanced opportunities. They get a little bank account attached to their name, and they can use those funds to take classes at any of the colleges in Idaho while they're in high school. And the term dual enrollment means that they take that one chemistry class, let's say, from NIC, U of I, LCSE, wherever. They get that college credit for it, but then they get duly credited in their high school for graduation as well. So it marks off too. We will be having two students of our graduation class this year that are graduating with their associate's degrees, one from North Idaho College, one from Lewis Clark State College. So some kids are doing that. Others are doing it just so they can get a little bit ahead with some of their credits. And some of them are doing it because they're not sure they want to go to college and they want to see what it's like. And so they take a few classes and then can decide, oh, this works for me. No, I'd rather go to a vocational school. No, I'd rather take a year and just work.
So in order to do this, do they take more time in high school? Or are they graduating later? Or are they graduating on
the biological clock, but
just a little bit further ahead?
Yeah, they're graduating on time. It's just that they're graduating with college credits, ready to walk into a university if that's what they choose to do, which is really kind of nice.
So tell us a little more about how the school, as I understand it, is a public charter school as opposed to a private charter school. And I think it'd be really helpful to a lot of our listeners to just hear the fundamental differences between those two.
Well, and what's interesting is I think that there's a huge myth out there that charters are private. They're not. The law specifically in Idaho states if you are a charter school and you're accepting public dollars, you are a public charter school. There is no taking of funds or tuitions like that at all. So there's no cost to attend our school other than maybe the field trip cost, because we do have a lot of field trips too. But there's no tuition, is what people think, when you enter a charter school in Idaho. We are bound by this many of the same laws that any of the traditional public schools are bound by. We do the state testing. Our school's in line to renew its accreditation next year. Any of those requirements are there. And then sometimes charters have a little extra that they're looking at because, you know, the state's taking a chance with you and your teaching methodologies, and they want to make sure that you are preparing the students of Idaho appropriately. So they're going to do a little more, you know, checking in on you, so to speak. But yeah, it's really interesting to me that after all the years, we weren't the first charter school, but we were one of the first. So let's say, you know, 23 years, that's still a myth that's out there that charters are private, and they're not.
And so the public funding comes in a similar fashion to what we'd call other public schools through appropriation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's exactly the same formula. Through COVID, they were just looking at the basic numbers enrollment that a school had. Legislation is now deciding on whether we're going to go back to what's called ADA, average daily attendance. And it's the exact same formula like Pendray School District uses, West Bonner County uses, you know, Coeur d'Alene, it's the same formula.
So does that tie you closer to the Lake Pendray School District in terms of activities or events or cross curriculums?
Not really. What's interesting is that you almost treat a charter like it's its own school district. Mary Jensen, my co-leader, and I, we are the district office, the school, the front office, everything all in one little space. Lake Pendray School District has been amazing in that their school board is what's called our authorizer, and it's their job to keep an eye on us and to make sure that we're using our public funds appropriately, that our children are passing ISAT tests, and that we're doing our curriculum appropriately, that when they graduate, they have a quality education from the state of Idaho. And we've had just a really wonderful working relationship with them. Mary just presented to their board at Lake Pendray's last board meeting how we're doing. And it was really nice to receive some compliments from Geraldine and Becky Meyer that, you know, that they trust us, they trust what we're doing, they like what we're seeing. And so it makes it for a really nice relationship. Mm-hmm. Now, on the flip side of that, any of our kids, let's say they wanted to go and play basketball or volleyball or whatever. We've had some kids run cross country for Matt Brass. Our kids can go and be a part of any of those sports or extracurricular activities that the district does offer.
Okay, so there's some mixing then with the extracurriculars.
Right, yeah, that's where we can do that.
Do any of the high school students come over to the high school for specific classes or opportunities?
Not right now. We have had that in the past, but we haven't had it for quite a while. It's logistically, it's just really tricky trying to match the schedules up between the two schools. It's no other reason truly other than that. It's, you know, there is a funding piece that we figure out and we're say, okay, if it's what is best for the kids, great. It's just logistically, it just doesn't tend to work.
Physically, not that far apart, really.
No, we're close. Yeah, we're really close. We're down behind the county building, kind of in our own little corner of the world of Sandpoint. So,
now you mentioned the buses going out to various places. What's the footprint? Is there a geographic footprint that you maintain?
Well, for our charter, we pull from Bonner County first. That is our primary. Well, let me back up and qualify. And this, because this relates to open enrollment as well. We pull from our local district first. Anybody who wants to come to our school, that's our primary geographical starting point. Then we move to Bonner County as a whole. And then after that, anybody outside the county that wants to attend our school and we have space, they can come and attend as long as they're in the state of Idaho. And so we have families from up Moyer Springs area. We've had families up just not far from the Canadian border. Conversely, we've had families out Clark Fork, close to the Montana border. We currently have a couple families driving from Old Town right now. I can't finance a bus going out that way. I'm trying really hard, though.
Yeah.
And then for a few years, we had some families that were coming all the way from Athol area. So
it takes a commitment.
It is. It's a huge commitment. And that's why we work so hard to build the relationships with our families that we do. As we know, it's, you know, when you talk about charters, you talk about school of choice. You're making a choice. These families made a choice and a commitment to us, so we're going to do the same with them and do whatever we can to try to help them. We had a kiddo that, variety of reasons, was living in Kokalala and was out on the west side in the hills up there and couldn't get to school for a variety of reasons for him. So we were trying to figure out all the best ways that we could maybe just start picking this kid up to get her to school in the interim. Luckily, the family was finding another option, but you know, they made the commitment to us. We're going to make it to them too.
So let's talk about the choice. When and how do the families select to have their kids attend?
Well, so the way that the law is set up in Idaho is that every charter school has to have an enrollment period. And that, I think, caters to this misunderstanding about private versus public for charter schools. You are essentially submitting your name to be in the school for the next year. So we open up an enrollment period. We're in it right now, February through March. You come by the school, or you can get on our website and fill out an application and send that in. We collect everybody's names. Once we've determined how many of our current students are returning, that helps us identify how many seats we have available in each grade. So let's say in my seventh grade, I've got, you know, 50 of those kids returning, then I'm going to have 4 seats available. If 40 of them are returning, I'm going to have 14 seats available, because we can set the number of students per grade level at a standard. And we just say that's how many we can take. So families will send in those applications at the end of the enrollment period. If, going back to my example, I had 14 seats in seventh grade and I have 13 kids that have applied, all 13 of those kids are in, no questions asked. I don't care. They're in.
So there's no scholastic aptitude or other financial aptitude test?
Nope. Financial. I like a financial aptitude test. Nobody should give me that. No, there's nothing like that. They're just in. No questions asked. Yeah. Now, if I have 15 kids, just one over, I have to do a lottery. And so every kid's name goes into a hat or a box or something.
The new kids.
The new kids, okay. Right. And I know some of the bigger charters have, you know, computer programs that can do this. We're just super old school because it's kind of fun to put names in a hat and draw them out.
Yeah.
But that's what we do, is we put their names in and we draw them out. And then we see if anybody that's coming in has a sibling in a different grade, because there are sibling clauses. Once one is in, the other one is also in. And then we just go through each grade level.
So what happens if a family moves here midway through the year? Is there an opportunity for them to enroll if there's an open spot?
Yeah, there is. We try to, because we work on trimesters instead of semesters, we do have a cutoff point, because it would be not servicing the child to take them after a certain number of weeks, because it's just really hard to get caught up at that point in time. But the first of the year, if we have seats and families want to come in September, we've got seats, come on in. And then in January, we do the same thing. We work with the families because we know it's a little, our trimester starts first thing in January, whereas the district is winding up their first semester. And so for high school students, we work with the families to make sure the kiddo doesn't miss too much of our world if they want to transfer. But if we have a seat and you want to come in January, you can come in January.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you have just tuned in, this is 88.5 FM, KRFY, the morning show, Wednesday's edition, hosted by Phil Huff. And this morning in the studio with me is Jennifer Grieve from the Forest Bird Charter School. We're going to take a little break and get Art Garfunkel's take on schooling, and then come back and hear more from Mary. So stay tuned. Art Garfunkel, what a wonderful world. Don't know much about biology, but I don't think that's true of the students at the Forest Bird Charter School. Welcome back to the morning show with our guest Jennifer from the Forest Bird Charter School, talking about how the school is really set up and the experiences the students go through, and how that's somewhat different than the typical public schools. So let's pick up there with some of the things that you have planned, that the school has planned for the coming trimester.
Well, what I think is the most fun. I mean, we do have a lot of things that I'll go through, but we just finished, one of our teachers just finished hosting a ham radio roundup at the school. And so we had all these gentlemen in the local community who do ham radio. Our teacher's been teaching it to our students. And so we had a roundup all week long where kids in the ham radio club, kids in different classes, kids in the middle school, even one of our secretaries got to go sign up for a 30-minute spot. And the guys would walk them through the script and what to do. And it was to see how many connections we could make across the world, which was really cool. And that's evolving into this teacher's going to be doing a broadcast journalism class this trimester. And he's actually going to have kids working with you guys here at KRFY.
I have heard. I think Jack Peterson is heading that up, our assistant station manager.
Yeah.
Quite exciting. It's always nice to get new, fresh voices and young voices on the radio.
Yeah, and I already saw the kids practicing in one of our quiet conference rooms, doing some tests on the radio and figuring out voices and how to do it. And it was really cute. They're very, very excited about it.
Well, we at the station here are looking forward to that. I do have a question. Maybe you'll know. Ham radio. I get the amateur part, but what's the H? What's the ham and amateur?
I don't know.
No, we're going to have to go find out now.
Now I'm going to have to bring up my phone and look it up online. Yeah. my teacher will be very upset with me that I don't know what it stands for.
I should know, you would think. But yeah, we'll have to find out. In fact, I think we've for a long time talked about having on some ham radio operators on the show. So
I will hook you up with Mark Weber because we will talk about it all day long.
Excellent. Let's talk offline about that. What other fun, interesting, dynamic projects you have coming up?
Well, we're really excited. For everybody, COVID puts a hitch in everybody's giddy up for a while. But our middle school kids, our eighth graders, are finally getting back into a bunch of their cool projects they've been doing for a while. Our eighth graders are currently working on mock trials. They're studying court cases, and they will each become different members of a single case, whether it's a lawyer or the defendant or whatever those pieces are, witness, so that they can practice what that judicial system looks like and how it works. Our iLab is back and open. It's a space that we created where kids can build any of their projects. And so we have an electives class that's a Legos class that the instructor had the kids building Lego cars for a contest. And so there were all of these different standards they had to meet, and one was how far they could go. So the Legos teacher paired up with the iLab teacher. The iLab kids built ramps for the Legos kids' cars to run down, and we had our first Lego race, ramp race, just the other day. It was a lot of fun.
Now, I remember as a kid, like, carving out a block of pine wood and filling it with melted down lead to make it go faster in a so-called soapbox derby.
Yeah. It's the same idea. It's just the Legos box derby.
It's evolved.
It has evolved. But it was really fun to watch the kids work together. And that's, you know, one of the things we're trying to do is build collaboration between people, whether they're 12 or they're, 44. We're trying to work on that collaboration, which is really kind of neat. And then this spring, our electives department is hosting an Earth Day event, and there'll be lots of fun things happening at the school. I'm not even sure. They have a whole list of things that they were planning on doing. There'll be an art show as part of it. There'll be activities for little kids. There's going to be even like a clothing exchange, was my understanding, is one of them.
Well, that'll be fabulous. Undoubtedly on April 22nd.
Well, we'll see. I can't remember where that lands on the calendar. it's one of those things is that, we have all of our teachers doing all of these activities now, just like people in Sandpoint. You do all this stuff now to get prepped for when the sun starts shining a little bit more. One of our high school science teachers, Misty Grains, she's getting ready to take a whole bunch of kids to do some forestry projects. And I believe it's called Treks for Teens. And it's put on by Scotchman's Peak. And so we're going to be shuttling a bunch of kiddos down to Round Lake so that they can go be a part of that as well.
Yeah, that's a great opportunity to engage with people in the natural resource industry, the volunteers who teach that, and learn more about careers. And I believe Misty also, or the school in the past, has entered the state forestry contest.
Well, some of our sixth grade teachers have done that with our sixth graders in the past. And so Misty's really excited about this opportunity. When she did her student teaching, we kind of collected her because she did her student teaching with us and sixth graders. She's an amazing teacher. I mean, our school is so blessed with such amazing individuals that work for us. And we just said, well, we don't want to lose you. And she says, well, can I teach high school? We said, great. So she's our chemistry physics teacher right now. She does a great job. And she has this forestry class and is excited to take the kids and be a part of that.
Sounds exciting. And as we come to the close of the interview, are there any things we haven't talked about you'd like to bring up?
You know, I think part of it is just really that we get tucked away in that little corner from of where our school is, down just kind of south of the county buildings. And we want people to come and see us. We want them to come and take a tour. We might not be right for your kiddo. We might be right for your kiddo. We don't know. And it's really helpful. People always have lots of questions. We love to answer them so they have the right information. And now is a great time to come on down because it is open enrollment from now until near the end of March. It closes on the 23rd so that we can start making phone calls on the 24th before spring break, which is always a fun thing to do before spring break.
So someone listening wants to come down and take a tour, maybe sign the kids up. What's the best way to get more information on that?
Why don't you just go to the school's website, forestbirdcharterschool.org. And don't forget, Forest has two R's because we are named after the famous Dr. Bird. Yeah. So go to the school's website. You can read more about us. You can find the application if you're interested. And you can find the building's two phone numbers, one for the high school, one for the middle school, if you want to call and come and take a tour.
Very good. Well, Jennifer Grieve, Forest Bird Charter School principal, joining us today on The Morning Show. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you for having me.